Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
KD, wieners, and beans.
Well, that's like prison food.
No, it is. So
it's
good.
Prison food.
Honestly,
Kraft dinner with brown beans and a sliced up wiener.
That is so repulsive.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I went to a restaurant today and somebody came out of the back and said, "Oh, what do you want? Kraft dinner, beans, and wieners?" Why do people find that so bizarre? It was like a staple in my household.
I just don't understand it.
You never had that as a kid?
Never in a million years. I was a KD guy. Don't get me wrong.
What about brown beans in the KD?
No, we were not a beans household. We would not eat beans. I don't like beans, period. Like, green beans are okay around, like, Thanksgiving or something like that.
Yeah, well, guess what, parents? You want to pay for a bunch of stuff for your kid? Private lessons? That was my pregame meal in junior hockey every day, and I went fifth overall.
So that was what you were eating on the OHL?
Yeah.
See, that's on you and the billets, though, because Guelph would have been paying them.
Dude, the billets had jobs.
Right, but they gave you money to be able to feed.
Who did?
The
I
teams.
Made $75 a week.
No, the teams would give the billet families money to feed you. So that means I would
so
say
the billet,
your billet family
is supposed to come home and then give the guy a pregame meal?
Yeah, that was always my understanding. That was my situation.
No, I went, one of my best friends, Chris Carina, he was an overage, didn't do anything. I went to his house and we loaded up KD, brown beans, and that was our pregame meal.
Well, I'm telling you then, your billets had quite the racket because...
Dude, don't talk to...
I'm saying it right now. On the air, live,
don't say that,
because
my billets are, like, very close to me. What are they supposed to do?
Well, they're supposed to be
food. They were teachers. They were teaching.
I understand that.
Hang on, kids. Got to go home. Cook my guy a meal.
Well, it's not even about that. It's supplying you with better ingredients than that. That's what I'm saying. KD... with a hot dog and some beans.
I didn't
That's
eat
like...
at home. I went to my buddy's house. KD, brown beans, every pregame meal.
Listen,
are
okay.
we talking about 1993, 1994?
Well, he was saying that when he was in the O, that's what he would eat for
well,
a pregame.
That's 24 years ago.
But right. this guy, ate. This donkey here, he's saying, my billet should have been home to cook me a meal.
First
they
of
had
all,
jobs, Craig.
No.
Well, they had jobs, but that's what everybody ate. Kraft dinner, grab a hot dog, some french fries at the rink.
You know the way billets used
to work,
though.
I had one more pregame meal that was a gem. A Wendy's Big Classic and a fry.
How did you make it to the National Hockey League?
Fifth overall.
Although you hear about some athletes even today with all the sports science stuff and diets.
Every junior kid did that back in the day.
Oh, I'm not saying I ate like a champ and I was like Gary Roberts
or
anything
like that.
What
were you having, quinoa and chicken?
Well, you'd have pasta or chicken. But what I was saying, Craig, was
that
teams,
hold
on a minute, give Craig a chance to answer this.
Who
because
made
he would
it,
know.
You or the billet?
Usually the billets would make it for
How?
Me.
Did they not have jobs?
Well, yeah, but like they'd leave it for you in the fridge or whatever, you'd warm it up. But the point I was making, though, Craig, was teams give the billets money, like food money every week, to feed the kids, to
Dude,
feed
back
the players.
In 95, it was trash. It was like 100, what was I don't even know.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was more than KD... Yeah, a wiener and some beans.
But when you came
Dude,
out at
me
that
and
age,
my best friend
that's all you wanted to do was eat KD and have some KFC and some fries.
Me and my best friend, Dave Wylick, we would leave school every day, and he was he liked barbecuing. I was told by my billets, you guys got to stop cooking all of our food. Because we'd come home, have three or four dogs, burgers. He'd have the barbecue fired up every day. And they're like, you and your buddy aren't entitled to come and eat all our food.
And guess why? Because you were entitled to your $150 a week worth of food or whatever it was that the team supplied, but they were trying to take some money off the top by giving you the KD and the beans and the hot dogs.
I don't think they were taking money off.
Oh, I think the money, no, I think no. it was a whole
don't
racket.
Talk about my
hey, listen,
like that.
A whole
don't
racket.
You should go. Have you ever been to the Olympics?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you should see the lineup.
That was
in the
such a big league comment.
Have you ever been to the Olympics? Sorry,
not like
Craig.
A junior B game or the Olympics.
I wasn't trying to big league. So McDonald's, their sponsorship is ending with the Olympics starting in 2022.
Oh, it's over.
It's over. Or in 2020. Anyway, it's over. But in the village, they have McDonald's there. And you should see the lineups. All the athletes want to get into McDonald's.
Oh, as soon as you're done your event, all you want is 20 nugs and a quarter pounder.
And that's where they all are. But Katrina LeMay Doane, two-time gold medalist, one of Canada's darlings of the Olympics, her kryptonite was McDonald's. She would try to sneak it and try to get in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
so it's amazing.
Story.
I know it's changed. I mean, sports science in terms of nutrition, everything has changed. But I would hazard a guess that back when Jeff was in junior, that they said, oh, okay, we'll buy a case of KD and make sure that he never runs out of KD. That's what we'll do with the money. I don't think they were skimming.
I think there was some skimming. But the same thing with Usain Bolt. Like, apparently Usain Bolt, he's on record saying he believes he ate like over 1,000 McNuggets over the course of his 2 weeks in the athlete's village because they have free access. Yep. McDonald's gives it to all the athletes for free. And he said all he would do was eat nuggets and run like a sub 9.6.
There was one athlete that apparently had the worst diet on earth. It was Peyton Manning's wideout. Marvin Harrison,
yep.
This guy, I think there was a documentary on it, like Twinkies or something. This guy just said, I love Twinkies. And
who was the guy that ate the Skittles? Who's the Skittles guy?
That's Marshawn Lynch.
Right, yeah. That's who it was. Yeah.
Yep.
Skittles, had to have a Skittles.
I played junior with Todd Bertuzzi. He'd eat Skittles before every game in junior. He was just like, what? What are you doing? Like a little bag of Skittles and...
Think about that. Back-to-back years, the Guelph storm. Were they the storm back then? Yeah, they were still the storm, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing. Bertuzzi 1 year and then Jeff the next year. I mean, think about two big-time players you draft in the first round.
Both made it to the NHL.
Yeah.
Well, how about our boy Matt Stajan playing 1,000 games?
Amazing. One of my favorite guys to ever play with.
You know what really surprised me, and I don't know why, but once I did, is when they said 15 years in the NHL, 9 with Calgary. Like, you know, I still have this image of him as a Maple Leaf.
Yep.
Right? It's that long that he's been there with the Calgary Flames.
Well, he got traded for Dion Phaneuf,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
He was in that trade, and it was Burke who traded him, and then 4 or 5 years later, Burke is in Calgary. I don't think I ever
Burke's
talked
the one
to
that
him.
Extended him. I'm pretty sure they didn't have a general manager when Matt signed his current contract.
Right.
Pretty sure Brian was the manager.
He's had two contracts in Calgary, I believe. The like when he first got traded there, it was a carryover maybe from the Maple Leafs. But you're right. I mean, for him to play 1,000 games is incredible, but for him to play in only two markets is equally, shocking in a way because we all love Stage. Like I grew up playing with him. I've known him for almost 30 years. You're not going to find a better guy, but Stajan would be the first one to tell you he's not a superstar. He never has been a superstar. So you expect like Crosby to play his whole career in Pittsburgh, Ovechkin to play in Washington. Usually guys who get to 1,000 because they're grinding and they'll play anywhere and they'll do whatever they have to, they end up on like 8 or 9 teams. And there's nothing wrong with that. You stayed in the league for a reason because you're a really good player. But for him to be a part of only two teams, and both in Canadian markets, long-time Leaf, long-time Flame, pretty incredible story.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Speaks to not only longevity and durability, but also speaks to two teams that wanted him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they gave him an opportunity early on in his career.
Here in Toronto, he played right away.
Greg, I talked about the other day about center Iceman being like really good along the boards. I used to love me and Matty Stajan and Kyle Wellwood played in the same line. And I would just like chip it in the corner. And Matty, he came up with it every time. And I really enjoyed play with him. Sometimes when you're a right-handed shot that likes to get open on the right side of the ice, when you're with a right-handed centerman, they're always on their backhand coming around the net. So they don't really get a view of you that well. But with the left-handed shot, like Ronnie Francis, there. Matty Stajan, they come out and they're like, that's your first option. The right-handed shots, like they got the blinders on because they can't see. I love playing with that guy.
Yeah, he's a grinder, like deceptively, because he's not the biggest guy or toughest guy in the world, but he grinds for pucks, like he gets on pucks.
But that's a skill.
Stick checking.
You know, I say it all the time. Will is a skill.
Yep.
And there's some guys that have lots of skill, like overt skill and everything, and then they get into a battle for the puck or a fight for space, and they're just like they're jello.
My buddy's a lawyer in Carolina, Craig. He says you got to have two things, skill and will. If you got one missing, you're done. Yep.
So true.
Well, Stajan will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll look back on his career and what went down last night. Not the best of nights for the Flames. I think it was probably over before that game, but it's definitely over now. They're not getting in. But as for the Maple Leafs, they're in Nashville tonight, and they're playing arguably the best team in the league in one of the most difficult buildings to play in.
Yeah, and their coach said it best. I can't come up with a practice scheme that can prep for playoffs like this game.
And that's why I think Matthews is coming back tonight. Like, he's in the lineup tonight. Yep, Zaitsev in the lineup tonight.
But he's ready. Austin's ready.
He's not at 95%, and they're, like, forcing him. I think he might have been ready earlier in the week, but this is not an easy test.
I don't think he was ready in his own mind. I think he needed to get confident in that shoulder to just do the things you do naturally. And I think that there's the physical part of it, the healing that says, okay, you're good, you're not going to get hurt anymore. And then there's the mental part that says, I'm confident in playing.
Right.
I want to play.
Well, and they obviously need him. Like, he's their best player. He's their number one center. And I'm hopeful that Marner keeps playing the way that he has been. JVR is not going to stay as hot as he has been. But if he can continue to contribute, if Matthews jumps on this train, I mean, they're an offensive juggernaut. They have been all year. I still think, getting back to a conversation from yesterday, it comes back to Freddie Anderson. And Freddie will start tonight, and he's got to get back to the form that he was in 2 or 3 months ago. He's got to be able to steal some games, especially in the playoffs. Come playoff time, Freddie Anderson's got to be an X factor for this team. And this is another good test for him because he's been rusty and on the road. He has not won a game on the road in a long time. So even though Nashville,
he's got to avoid the ugly one, but they got to play better in front of him too.
For sure. But I think it's more reasonable to expect Freddie Anderson to find his form again than for this team to transform into the 77-78 Habs between now and the beginning of the playoffs.
I wonder if there's a formula for starting goaltenders, Craig, and Jamie could probably break that down. But there's probably a formula in a victory in the NHL. It's maybe 15 to 25 regular saves, and then 2 or 3 that you're not supposed to make. And that gets you a win. There's some kind of formula.
Yeah, Jamie would have it. Yeah, I know he's talked about that. What you expect your guy to be able to do.
That's generally the formula in a victory. It's like you do this, this, and this from your goaltender, you win.
Well, but go back to Tuesday night against Tampa Bay. So you're going through 38 minutes of the game. Was there any worries about any aspect of the Leafs game? None. There was zero. They had that game locked down in control. It was scary. Yeah.
We talked about gap control during the game. Like, look at this. They're gapping up. They're eliminating time and space. And then it was just like, bye.
But then the third period, so they score the one at the end of the second or near the end of the second. Third period, it's a terrible play into the neutral zone and a bad line change. McDonough comes right down the middle of the ice. Then they win a defensive zone faceoff, and Morgan Riley gets caught, tries to reverse a Kucherov on it off a skate, and it's 3-3. So, you know, I think the getting at this point in the season for Mike Babcock, it's about details. Get your details in order. Line changes. When you're under pressure, what are you going to do with the puck? You know, anybody knows what to do with the puck when there's no pressure, but in the playoffs, teams are trying to force you into mistakes. So, okay, you're here. What are you going to do with the puck? Don't give the other team oxygen, you know, when you're choking them off. And to me, the Leafs, they did exactly that against Tampa Bay, and I think that the players after the game knew exactly what happened. Mike Babcock probably, it was probably the easiest session he ever had to do. Do we know what we did wrong? Yep. Okay, let's play.
Well, I don't think this team lacks confidence.
Nope.
They do not lack confidence. They are a confident group. They believe they can play with anybody. They're not walking into Nashville tonight thinking they're going to lose this game. And I think that would be more of a concern for me. If there was a confidence block, if it felt as if they just beat up on bad teams, but when they go up against the good teams, they just completely melt.
Like the Raptors?
Well, last night, I mean, that's one of those games where we said we're not going to overreact, but they had that game in control at the half. But LeBron James put forth a game that is unprecedented in NBA history.
And I got destroyed, Brian, because people thought I was talking about, like, geography or... I sent out a tweet that said, that's why people south of the border rip the Raps. And they were like, oh, they always win in Florida. I'm like, no. People in the U.S. on TV, the way they talk about the Raps is because of a game like that. Big moment, big night. They're dominating. They win every game. Then they go into Cleveland. They can't beat LeBron.
Well, yeah, but Josh Lewenberg was on after the game with the ESPN report. I forget who it was. I just forget his name. He said that might have been LeBron's best game in Cleveland since before he left to go to Miami.
It was unparalleled.
Like, okay, why do you have to do it against Toronto? Everybody else goes in there and kicks their ass.
But see, that's the thing, though. When you say what people say in the States, you're right. The haters are going to hate until the Raptors win in the playoffs.
Dude, it's even not hating. It's being a realist. That's
okay,
what they do.
No. But it's. I think you could look at it the opposite way. Last night wasn't about the Raptors. Last night was why LeBron gets so much respect.
Yeah.
Not why the Raptors get disrespect. Last night, to me, was why LeBron gets respect and deserves it unlike anybody else in pro sports.
Well,
he is the greatest equalizer in pro sports. That game he put forth last night, nobody else in the NBA can do. Nobody. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it four times in a series.
I'm with you.
That's another thing you got to remind yourself. He might be able to do it twice. He's not doing that four times. As
not
great
against,
as he is. Four times?
And I don't think against the Raptors either. Because,
no, I don't
because
either.
I think there's, you know, watching that game, I think there's too many gaps. And I'm not an expert in basketball. But without LeBron there, I mean, and that's when he hit 33 years of age. And people are saying maybe his best game since before he
right.
left to go to Miami.
It's incredible. So, like, that's how good he was last night.
So if you had 10 grand, Brian, 10 grand cash, and tomorrow the series started, Toronto-Cleveland, who would you put it on?
I'd put it on the Raptors.
No.
Okay,
no.
That's fine. That's okay.
Honestly, I've been saying this for weeks. I think it's a 50-50 series, so I wouldn't even know where to put my money
down. This guy's been to seven straight finals.
I know that.
You're going to bet against them?
Well, but the thing is, I think the Raptors are a better overall team.
Yeah.
The Raptors are a better overall team. Like, there's no denying that. It's LeBron has the capabilities of winning a game by himself. Like, that's what he can do. He needs a couple guys to hit some shots. Like that Kevin Love three in the corner late, that was a big shot. He needs that. You know, he had 17 assists last night. Someone's got to hit those shots. You know, Cleveland shot 60% last night. That wasn't all him. And the Raptors are capable of playing better defense, and Lowry was on a rant about that postgame, but that last night was about LeBron. Sometimes you got to step away and be like, that dude is something else. And that was on the back-to-back in Cleveland, and he had himself an evening for the ages. I'm betting that he can't do that four times. So from that standpoint, I guess if I had to put the money down, I'd put it on the Raptors.
I don't know. I think guys like LeBron, they go to sleep and they think, guys like Brian Hayes said, I can't do that four times. And that's
he might. He might. And he also probably goes to sleep saying, guys like Lowry and DeRozan and Ibaka and Siakam, they can't stop me four times. Like, I think he deserves to be the most arrogant athlete on earth.
Absolutely.
Like, why would he feel as if these guys can stop him? But at some point, I'm banking on Kevin Love missing that shot. J.R. Smith missing that shot. George Hill missing a shot. Jose Calderon is getting starting minutes last night. Like, they've got injury problems, but that Cleveland team, that was a perfect storm for them.
I mean, Jordan
and they won by three.
Jordan was ridiculous. Kobe, but if you're going to talk about one-man shows, this guy's got to be, like, if you're talking about a one-man show.
Over the past
there was some playoff
15
series
years
against San Antonio where he was with Miami. I was like, every basket was him.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about him.
It's LeBron in the NBA in big games. It's Brady in the fourth quarter in big games.
They lost four straight to San Antonio, didn't they? Wasn't four straight?
But that was back in 07. That was when he had nobody.
No, in Miami.
No, they didn't lose four straight.
They lost in five to
I think seven. It was in six was they it? Lost to. Yeah, I don't remember. That was early in his career. The first time he went to the finals with the Cavs, they got swept,
was with
and it was
Miami.
Ugly.
Didn't he lose? He lost to San Antonio with Miami.
Yeah, they won one and lost one against the Spurs.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah, I don't remember what the details of the series were. They didn't get swept. They definitely didn't get swept. But listen, it was a fun game last night. No, there's no dancing around it. That was a fun game.
Sure was.
Like the
right
Celtics,
down to the last seconds.
Right, which is what you're going to get. Like, you're not sweeping the Cavs, but the Cavs aren't going to sweep the Raptors either. That's not happening. This is not like last year, where you walked in and you're like, the Raps have no chance. They're getting games off Cleveland. It's happening, but with 23 on the floor, you can never feel overly confident that you're going to get past them. That and he deserves that kind of respect. It's just like Brady. If you play the Pats, you can't go in there being like, we know we're going to win. No, you don't know that.
Yeah, 23-8.
Yeah.
You might, on that one.
You might feel okay about it, but you're not going to feel 100% confident. There's no chance. Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, will be in studio at 5 p.m. Luke Wilson, who just signed with the Lions, leaving Seattle after a handful of years, he's going to join us in the 6 p.m. hour. And our buddy Matt Stajan, playing his 1,000th game last night for the Flames. He spent a lot of time here in Toronto. He's going to join us to look back on the first 1,000 games. How many more do you think he has in store? I wonder if he knows how many points he has. Like, if he knows how many goals he scored, assists, points.
I would say no. I never knew. I didn't look at it.
I think I'll bet you he knows. He seems like one of those guys that would track his own stats. You say no, I say yes. We'll ask him. We'll see how many details he knows about his own career.
You say Matt Stajan, I say yes.
Okay. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Bobby Maccabee in studio at 5 p.m. Leafs in Nashville tonight. Auston Matthews making his return. He's been out for a month. Nikita Zaitsev making his return tonight. He's been out for a while, and he was out for an extended period of time earlier in the year. He has not had a very good year. They need more out of Zaitsev.
I think that Kraft dinner with fucking sausages
might help him.
I think it might have helped him.
I think he could be right.
Pre-game?
That might have given him the flu, quite frankly. That kind of...
Sausages and hot dogs.
And KD.
Yeah.
That's what shut him down for 2 weeks.
No, that's what he needed to stay healthy.
Oh, it's the opposite, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm saying that that's what he needed.
Okay, maybe.
His immune system was down.
Well, I mean, is Nashville considered the South? Tennessee? That would be the South, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
They can get after, like, some grits and KD.
Smoky Mountains. There's some great barbecue down there.
They do great barbecue.
I was down there.
I'm never into that.
Never? Oh, I was down there a couple weeks ago. Boom. I plan early breakfast. Don't eat a lot because I'm loading up on the barbecue.
I'm with you on that. I love it down there. It's great.
What's your favorite part of the barbecue? So I always get the three meats. What are your three meats?
I'm a ribs guy. If you're going, like, those are the most unique meats to find. Like, I can get chicken in different ways all over Toronto. And there's some good rib spots around here. But there's something about ribs and... The States, I just feel like they do it up larger. And like my understanding is Kansas City's got the best barbecue in the country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the great. So does St. Louis. St. Louis has got great ribs, too.
Right.
But yeah, I always go for the brisket, and I go for the Texas sausage or the hot sausage. And then I like, you know, I might get the ribs or the pulled pork.
All right.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I can
I'm
get
like you.
That.
I'm not getting chicken.
No, I'm not doing chicken. No. I do chicken all the time.
Yeah.
Get me off chicken. All right, so Bob McKenzie in studio. We'll get into the Raps. The loss last night, start teeing up their game tomorrow night at home against Brooklyn. And Matt Stajan will join us. He played his 1,000th game last night. He will check in 2 minutes. All right, so I say that Stajan knows all of his NHL totals. He played his 1,000th game last night. I'll bet you he knows... How many career goals he scored, assists, and total points. He might even know penalty minutes. And you say he doesn't know a lick. Doesn't know anything.
Nothing. I would not, if I called in during my playing days, I would not know any of my stats.
Like even that season?
Maybe that season, you're like, if it's good, it's good. And if it's bad, you're like.
If it's brutal, you don't remember.
Mm-mm.
On pace for 12 goals. I don't even know. I haven't looked in quite some time.
Yeah.
On pace for 40, I can give you an update. 1,000 games in the NHL with two teams, both in Canadian markets. We know him as a Maple Leaf here, but if you're a hockey fan, you're aware of what he's been doing in Calgary for a long, long time as well. Our good buddy, joining us here on Overdrive, here is Matt Stajan. Stage, congrats, buddy, on 1,000 games.
No, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Kind of unbelievable, to tell you the truth, but... Yeah, it's a pretty proud moment for me and my family, so thanks. Thanks for always supporting me, having my back. I know you guys have my back.
What was it like skating around a warm-up, Chewy? Was it just you nervous, or is it like, you know, all like, did you have a bunch of people there? What was the prep for the game like?
It was a big game for us, but we've kind of been struggling here, and the last week's kind of, our season's going sideways, but it was just... getting myself ready, that the good boys did a bit of a tribute to me. Everybody went no bucket warm up for me, and that was nice to see. Because we're a team that is forced to wear our helmets most warm ups, so that was nice the guys did that. And we're trying to get a rally going. At this point, you're just trying to get something going with your team. So that was the focus, but it was just another game. To tell you the truth, with some family members here, but when I look back, it's pretty special for sure.
Matt, it was pretty interesting to watch some of the opponents on the Washington Capitals during the warm-up acknowledge this, and the respect you have around the league. You've earned that, obviously, but how does that make you feel? And I know the answer, but just hearing you talk about it is, I think, interesting.
Yeah, I think as a player, when you leave the game, obviously you want two things. One is the Stanley Cup, which unfortunately hasn't come close for me. But the other is you want to leave a good impression on the players you play with, your teammates, and players throughout the league. That's something I pride myself on. Trying to be a good person, but all I can do is be yourself, and you can't fake that. And so it's just kind of been going about my business through my career and having fun and getting to know everybody. And before you know it, you're where you are. And I'm pretty proud to say that I've been able to become the player and more important the person I have become.
With Matt Stajan from the Calgary Flames, who played in his 1,000th NHL game last night. So O and I were debating about this earlier. I think you're a stat guy. I think you know all your stats, your career stats. I'll bet you were on HockeyDB either before the game or after the game. And O thinks you'll be completely ignorant to this. Do you know how many career goals, assists, and points you have?
I don't score as much these last few years, so it's easier to keep track. But to tell you the truth, penalty minutes, I have no clue. Points, I know I hit 400 last year, and so I'm just probably around 410, 412. And then goals, I know I was close to 150. I'm just under 150, and Old Dog reminded me that I was on pace for 1.2 goals after the first half of the season this year. So not much is added to that. But I'm more about, as you get older, you're just trying to win games and do what you can in the dressing room, and especially when you're the guy not playing on the power play. So, but to be honest, I have an idea of what my stats are around. Do I know it to a T? No, but takes one look and then So Old Dog scored so many points. Hey, Old Dog, you didn't know your stats. You're just an elite player, so I couldn't imagine you could keep track of your stats.
Dude, I don't even know mine. I think I have like 496 points.
I think you got more than that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. No, that's it. 496. You're not that bad, Chewy. You only got 96.
You got 412. You're at 412 points and 146 goals.
The last little bit, my role's changed quite a bit, but
yeah, you're a plumber now.
whatever you got to do to stay in the league, right?
I get it, buddy. Pays the same, pal.
You talk about that, though, all kidding aside. But what's been interesting to me, Matt, is over the course of the season, it seems to me that you've become more offensive and got more chances as the season has progressed. Did you find yourself maybe trying to fall in and just saying, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm going to do, the proverbial little things, and then now you realize, hey, wait a sec, I can still do some of these other things? But that's what it appears like to me.
Yeah, the start of the season was a big struggle for me personally. I was in and out of the lineup. We had a lot of moving parts, and it's when you're a bottom six guy, and our bottom six was struggling at the start of the year. I was coming out of the lineup, so it's hard to get into a groove, and offensively, and you're only playing 10 to 12 minutes a night. Two of those minutes are penalty kill, and I know my job. A lot of my assignments are D zone starts and stuff like that. So I've just always tried to embrace my role, especially the last 4 or 5 years of my career, knowing that I'm not going to see the power play tonight, but you're still out there trying to produce, and you're not going out there just to play defense. When there's an opportunity there, you go after it. But for sure, I've sided on the side of defense when you know, when there's certain situations, just because that's my role. But as the season's going on, it's just, you know, doing the little things. I know it's cliche-ish, but that's what you do. And being an older guy on the team, you want to be a good example, because at this time of year, that's what it takes to win. And, you know, so you're trying to do the right things. And fortunately, you know, as a team, we just kind of fell apart here the last few weeks, which really sucks, you know, for us. But, you know, it's a good lesson. Like, we played a team yesterday that they got a goal in the first period, and they sat back the rest of it, and they were just worried about getting their 2 points. They didn't care about anything else, and then they snuffed us right out. And, you know, at this time of year, that's what you got to do to win. And as I've gone to learn in my career, you know, it's just about winning games and doing whatever it takes. And sometimes when you're younger, you don't realize that until it's too late.
With Matt Stajan from the Calgary Flames playing in his 1,000th game last night. And you've been a long-time Flame, but you're a long-time Leaf. Let's get to some Leaf questions here. A lot of people here in Toronto tuning in. And we talk about Pat Quinn a lot. And, oh, you've got some great Pat Quinn stories. Be honest with us. How scared of Pat Quinn were you when you first came up?
You know, he was always really, really good to me. You know, he was like my third grandfather. You know, he was that kind of figure to me. Like, the few times that... He kind of just let the guys kind of convene themselves. You know, our dressing room was run by the veterans, and but every time I talked to him, he was really good. But he I'm sure old dogs said all his stories, but I have nothing bad to say about Pat. He was he's just like a solid man, and he gave me my start in the league, and I feel that he had a little bit of a soft spot for me, which I appreciated, and you know, I'm so happy I had a chance to play for him.
You don't have any classic Pat Quinn one-liners?
You probably said them all, because you probably talk about it all the time. I don't know if I can say a few on the air, but you know what it's like. If we were terrible through the neutral zone, he'd be calling us out, saying we're like Swiss cheese, and you know, it just the stuff like that. He had some great one-liners, and you know, the boys loved it. So
O was talking yesterday about being out in Toronto with Matt Sundin. You've played with a lot of guys throughout your career. Has anyone picked up a bill the way Sundin did?
We had some generous guys on our team. I think Kaber was really generous. You know, O-Dog, I don't know, did you buy some tabs? You're pretty generous. O-Dog was great. He always bought me lunch, you know, down at Sloppy Joe's there. I forget what the place is called.
That's pregame.
By Lakeshore, and chicken, right, buddy?
Yeah. You know what? Most guys are really generous. But Matt's is always the next level. The team parties he threw, I've seen nothing like it in my career. You know, so we were lucky to have him. You know, he's one of the best captains you can ask for, you know, both at the rink and away from the rink. So, and I even went after his luck with my hairdo. So it was great to do that.
Yeah, we like it, man. I loved it. No buckets of warm up. You had the full Sundin Messier going last night. I mean, you support it. You have to, right? I guess you've taken it down to the woodshed for a couple of years now.
Yeah, I got no choice. You know, I actually went right down to the, not right down the wood, but I pretty much shaved my head right after I left Toronto. And, I kind of wish I did it a little earlier, but, you know, we all hang on, eh? When you're playing up there, you always hang on a couple years too long, but, you know, that's just life.
With Matt Stajan, all right, we'll get you out of here on this. The most important question for me, once you finally hang him up, and who knows when that's going to be, and you come back to the Toronto area, will we spot you at the ACC in a Maple Leafs alumni jacket?
Wow. Someone posted that on the start of the year. I saw Tux or you know, someone posted where you guys get in those. Did you get one, old dog?
Yeah. Don't you think that would be cool to have? Like, I love mine. Yeah. I want to wear it to weddings and stuff.
So I texted them. I was like, am I going to be able to get one of those? You know, for sure I'll sport that. You know, the two cities I've played in, you know, we love Calgary. You know, this is our home now. Nothing but good things to say about Calgary, and we love it here. And the Flames organization is unbelievable. But, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs is a team I grew up watching. And, you know, I was a huge fan. So having a chance to play in that organization with the history and everything, you know, that's it's so special to me and even my family. And I enjoyed every minute there and, you know, played with a lot of great teammates. You know, obviously you always wish you could, you know, win and you know, have that memory. But I couldn't complain about the way my career has gone. And, you know, I'm very fortunate.
Well, O won't bring me up to the alumni box anymore, so you gotta bring me next time you're in town. Make sure you let me know when you're back home, and I'll sneak in with you.
Well, we can go to like the Mississauga Senators' own alumni box or Hershey Center there.
Right.
Easy.
Yeah, they love us down there. I'd actually be kind of on equal footing with Stage around those parts. Maybe not quite, but
Matt, did you hear about the Brian Hayes night in Barrie this year?
That's right, buddy.
I saw it on social media. You know, you've come a long way, Hazy. You know, you were the guy in minor hockey that played both forward and D because no one knew where to play you. You were just gonna have the extra. So,
you know, that means you're crap.
Pretty, yeah, 13th forward and 7th D on a team with only two lines and 4 D wasn't good.
But you had a pretty good career. You know, you made it to the O. Not many guys even made it to the O that we played with.
That's
so.
Right, buddy.
Chewy, he had 1 point in the O. That's not a good career. Yeah,
I made it.
But you know what? You have one of the best talk shows on the radio now, so it all comes full circle, buddy.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
Congrats, Matty. Congrats on the 1,000 games.
Right, congrats, buddy.
Congratulations.
Great stuff, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Stage. There he is. Matt Stage in 1,000 games. One of my original teammates when we were kids.
He just said you had a good career.
I had a great career. I had
a
good minor hockey
career. You had 1 point in the O. It's great you made it to the O, but you had 1 point.
Okay. Well, dude, he's played 1,000 games. How many did you play?
In the show?
Yeah.
820. More than you.
Okay, but still, he's got you by 180.
Now check the point totals. You tell me what's better.
I'm pretty sure you had more points.
Yeah, I know.
Is he at 496?
He's at 412.
No, but what did Jeff have? I think you had more than that. I thought you had 500.
No, I didn't. I didn't get to 500.
Dude, I thought you had 400 goals. No. Or was that Ray?
252. Ray had 408.
I had 496 points. That's it.
Yeah, 496, 237 goals you had. So you beat him, but he's still playing, so who knows? He might catch you.
Oh, really? He's got 5 this year.
Yeah.
Was he going to rip home 87 next year?
I don't think Matt's catching that.
He may not catch
it. And that's not a knock on Matt, but like, you know.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
Anyway, congrats to Matt Stage, one of our favorites. 1,000 games in the league. Too bad about the Flames. Like, we're not going to grill him about what's going on with that team. He said it. He's like, we kind of...
gone off the rails.
Gone off the
sideways,
rails. It's not good.
Sideways,
yeah, we know where they're at. Bob McKenzie will be in studio in the 5 p.m. hour. We'll get back into the Raptors' loss in Cleveland last night and a couple of other stories out there in the sports world. Leafs back in action tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. You could try to keep your phone safe and hope you never drop it, or you can buy off eBay. Find trendy phone cases for just $19, plus eBay has tons of items to personalize your phone. Find what makes you. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop at ebay.ca. Thanks again to Matt Stajan for joining us. Bobby Mack will be in studio in about 10 minutes. Leaf game tonight in Nashville, man. This is a good test.
Yeah, it is.
This is a really good test.
Good game. Nashville plays fast. You know, Mike Babcock talks about playing fast. And hey, listen.
And they got some bite to them.
Do you remember
that series last year they played Anaheim? That was big boy hockey. And the Leafs, it's like, you know what bugs me about the Leafs when they were like, they're not mad at Steven Stamkos for the trip, to go beat the hell out of and just say, you know what, you're not doing that to us.
And sometimes that's what it takes. It's just like, no, we're not putting up with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to be honest, I was never that guy because I couldn't fight. I wasn't very good at it. But when I got hit like that, I'd have somebody go over and say, not a chance. You're not doing that. Everybody talks about the fancy stuff, you know, the puck possession. But if you don't have any jam, man, you're not going to win. You know what?
It's a competition, Jeff.
It's
a competition. And that's why, to this day, I love what Phil did to John Scott.
Little hack job.
I can't fight you, but I'm taking this piece of lumber I got in my hands, and I'm using it to chop you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The Stanley Cup
playoffs, man, they are ultra competitive. My first experience, I skated out in the first shift, and I'm like, okay, it's on. You, if you're not ready, you get exposed, and you're a weakness within your team. You're out of the lineup because if you're not going to go out there and do it, you don't play.
Well, especially if they play Boston. Like, Boston's got some bite, to use your word. Like, Boston will come out and try to punch you in the head, and we'll see how the Leafs can respond.
Yeah.
You know, the Leafs they've got some confidence, they've got some intensity, but like, Tampa doesn't really supply that. I don't see it so much out of Tampa. That would be a high flying kind of skill based.
Yeah, Tampa mirrors a lot of those Detroit teams where it's a lot of skill. There's some European presence in the lineup.
But like, you know,
Detroit, but they had Shanny in those good years.
They had a fourth line that came.
Oh, they had Draper,
yeah,
and they had McCarty.
Yeah, you're right.
And they had Maltby. And I think that was a big turning point to their team.
I guess Tampa has Callahan. And
yeah, but he can't do it anymore.
He can't keep up.
I don't think he can. I go back to Montreal when they were winning. They had Risebrough and Lambert and Trombley. Now, a lot of people won't remember those names. But that was a third line that wreaked havoc on you.
Right.
You know, you think about the New York Islanders. They had Bobby Nystrom and guys that would just come and just beat down on you. No fun.
No, it's not.
Because there's no rest for the weary when you're going out
every second night.
I got no rest here. And then other guys are going, geez, I haven't done anything. Why are they hammering on me?
Right.
About anything more than prepping for a series against New Jersey.
Oh.
Because you're just thinking, every shift I'm on, number four is Scott Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to do one thing. Guess what that is?
Knock you out of the series.
That's it.
Yeah. Happily knock you
out
of the series. Bob McKenzie will be in studio. We'll get back into LeBron going just freak mode last night against the Raptors and how the Raptors should be feeling about it. And we'll keep teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.